All right.
Shall we be thankful? Will you pray with me? Lord God, we are so grateful that we can look to you and call you friend. You're much more than a friend, though. You're creator. You're the one who saved us, who shed your blood for us. And yet, Lord, you call us friend. You're too good to us, God. And Father, just as we look into your word tonight, we just pray that you would teach us from your word something that you have for us. And Lord, that you would just adjust anything inside of us, Lord, that you see necessary. Lord, we give you permission. We invite you, Father, just to look into our hearts. And Lord, please be with us and pour out your spirit as we look in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so tonight is kind of our last trip through the armory. We're talking a little bit about the last of the weapons of the Spirit, which is the weapon of prayer. We've been looking at that the last couple of sessions. This one is more praying for the persecuted church. I mean, we started out looking at personal prayer and supplication, asking God for various things, and then being watchful and persevering in prayer. And, you know, having that intensity and that resolve. And then we talked about supplications and petitions for others, right? And it's kind of like those Roman soldiers locking their shields together in battle, where we're coming together in battle against the enemy. And then praying for opportunities last time to share the gospel, right? Looking for those opportunities to be able to share the gospel with somebody else. Tonight, we close out this discussion of spiritual warfare, spiritual armory, dealing with persecution and partnership with those being persecuted in prayer. And so we'll see here, Paul points, really his posture while in prison. He's not an inmate. He sees himself as an ambassador, but also the importance of partnering with prayer. He asked for prayer. And then we're going to also see, I think, confidence that we can have when persecution comes to us. Do you realize that, I mean, we live in a nice, safe, sterile world here in the United States to a certain degree, but persecution can still come in different forms. I'd like to read the passage starting in verse 12 for context, and we'll look at this in verse 20 tonight. Let's see. So starting in verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith by which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." All right, may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You know, as Paul starts out this section here about praying for him while he's in chains, it reminds me recently there was quite a bit of news coverage going on about the persecution going on in Nigeria, where they're slaughtering people that are Christians just for their faith. Islamic people were killing them just because. And it's not a new thing. It's been going on for a while. ISIS was in the business of this a little while back. And there were some other groups that had alphabets for their name. And then there was, the Sudan has just been bloody for quite a while. And there's just persecution around the world going on. I hear that China has been doing some raids in the last recent in I guess some of that is sparked by some of the financial stuff going on, I don't know, but there's been some persecution there, against additional persecution against Christians there, where they've been kind of really locking down. And the world is not as simple and safe as it used to be. I mean, not that it ever really was, but it's become more evident that there's persecution. But Paul here, he says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains." And this idea of "for" means on behalf of or on part of, "for which I am an ambassador in chains." It's interesting, this word for ambassador here only comes up two times in the New Testament, here in 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to turn there a little bit to look at it. But this idea of an ambassador, it's a representative or someone who is older or senior to go and to represent or to converse with. Interesting, has anybody ever met an ambassador before? Everybody ever met one? Back in 99, I had the pleasure of guarding a couple of ambassadors, the French ambassador to America, the American ambassador to France. You know, I had duty in Europe, and we were there. And it's interesting, an ambassador, when you meet them, you just feel like they're your friend. You feel like you've always known them, and you feel like you could talk to them about anything. You know, they're just so delightful, at least the ones I was around. You felt like, man, this guy's a really a great guy. Now, he may have been the worst person in the world, but he does a really good job of acting. But they're there to represent their country, and they're not there on behalf of themselves. And they are elegant. They really carry themselves well. Well, if you don't mind, turn to the left of 2 Corinthians 5 as we look at the only other time that this word is used in Scripture. I think it helps add some value to what we're studying tonight. So 2 Corinthians 5, it's to your left. I'll give you just a minute to get there. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, just for context's sake, I'm going to pick up in verse 17. I'll read down through 21, and we'll just go ahead and do that now. Starting in verse 17, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he who made him, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Think about that. So this idea of the word ambassador here, it has to do with reconciliation, the way that it's being used. That's when you are putting people back together in a relationship, to reconcile, to conciliate, to come together. And so the ministry of reconciliation, Paul here is saying, has been given to us. Jesus had come to the world and went to the cross, and there himself was... He was reconciling the world to himself, right? Bringing us to himself through his blood shed out on the cross as he was there crucified for us. And our trespasses are no longer imputed to us, accounted against us, but they've been committed to him on the cross, judged there. And now we can be reconciled to God. We can be at peace with God. But this idea of being an ambassador, again, it has to do with carrying yourself well. You're there to reach out to other people and to greet them, welcome them on behalf of the nation, or in this case, the king, right? You're there to represent the king. And so as we think about that, now Paul, he was in Rome at the time that he wrote the letter of Ephesians. And I'm sure in the big city of Rome, ancient Rome, where they had an emperor and a senate, that there were plenty of ambassadors that had come there from other nations. And they were probably in some really nice, ornate places where they were staying in, going to fine dinners, wearing fine apparel. But Paul, being an ambassador for Christ, he got an all-expense-paid trip when the Roman government was in and up in a nice cell or with the Roman soldiers, right? And so as we think about that, much contrast there. But we remember last time, Paul wasn't requesting to be let go. In fact, he was praying to have more, that God would have an open door for him to share the gospel. But he wasn't asking prayer support to get him out of there, but empowerment for what he was doing there. We have to ask ourselves, if we were in similar circumstances, what would we be praying for? How would we view it? Paul says there, we saw in verse 20 tonight, there are, you know, in back in chapter 6 there of Ephesians, he said, I'm an ambassador. He didn't say I'm an inmate, I'm an ambassador. And if I were persecuted, if I were arrested, and if I were thrown in jail or chained to a Roman soldier, would I see myself as an inmate or an ambassador? Well, I got to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't be happy about the situation. Would you? No, nobody probably would think that that's a great idea, but Paul wasn't complaining against it. That means he was in acceptance of what God's will was, and he wasn't pushing against it. And there's an application there in our lives. When persecution comes of some sort, do we get angry? Do we push against it? Do we argue with whoever it is that the persecution is coming from? Or do we choose to take the posture of an ambassador? Of course, that means we don't represent ourselves. We represent the King. And that means we have to put our best foot forward. And we're seeking to be one who reconciles them to the King. A representative for the Most High sovereignty. And that being the Lord. Well, Paul saw himself is appointed for this purpose. And you think, if you represent the Most High, there's a certain nobleness that comes with that, a certain elegance that should come with that. Maybe even a certain urgency to seek them out. And Paul, yeah, I don't know if he was bearing credentials. He had plenty of scars, though. But he had unmistakable authority. And you and I also have, as he tells us here, the ministry of reconciliation. Now, just want to pause for a second and give you guys a chance to express any thoughts that you have. It's Wednesday night. We can share a little bit. What stands out to you about this passage here in 2 Corinthians before we go back to where we're at in Ephesians? Any thoughts? Anybody want to say anything?
When you have the mindset of an ambassador, you can't just be like a part-time ambassador. Because if they, ambassadors like, let their irritation get hold of them once, then it kind of ruins everything else they were doing.
Mm-hmm. No part-time ambassadors, right? That's true. Anybody else want to add to that? You know, it tells us, you know, as we saw earlier, Paul was asking them to pray for him while he was there in jail, being persecuted, that he would have that ability to be that ambassador. Now we know from Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, it says, now Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no one forbidding him. Those are the last two verses of Acts, the book of Acts, Acts 28, 30 and 31. It is difficult for us in westernized America to think of persecution being an opportunity. Yet in some strange way, it is just that. Think about that for a second. See, we can be tempted to think that that's for Christians in some foreign country. But I have to tell you, it's not for just Christians in some foreign country. It could be in our country. A couple more crazy administrations in the White House, and it might just be that. I think sometimes we're so withdrawn from the physical persecution here in the U.S. that we feel insulated. But thinking of what's going on here, persecution can come in the most civilized places. You got to keep in mind, in Paul's day, Rome and the Roman government was the most civilized place in the world at that time. And yet there was plenty of persecution that went on. Well, let's go on back there to Ephesians 6 and let's see what else we're going to find here in this passage. Ephesians 6. Thinking about praying for the persecuted church, he says here, you know, is for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it, imprisonment, that he might speak boldly as he ought to speak. Now, one thing that they have for ambassadors today is a thing called diplomatic immunity. Somebody help me out. What does that mean? What does that mean? Yes.
I mean, when you're in another country, being an ambassador, you're not held to their standards or laws, or maybe even held accountable. I don't think it has to do with in your duties or as a whole.
Yeah, okay. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Didn't work in Star Wars.
Didn't work in Star Wars. I don't believe anything in Star Wars, though, baby. Yeah. Diplomatic immunity. See, ambassadors often are granted just that, where they're immune from arrest or imprisonment. But Paul here was an ambassador for Christ, yet he is in prison. Many of the other ambassadors there in Rome in that time, they would have been living it up in the fine digs and seeking to hobnob with the biggest and the best and the greatest of Rome. Paul, an ambassador for the most sovereign king of all, was in prison. You see, it's interesting. Mankind will tolerate almost anything better than it will tolerate the gospel in Jesus Christ. The world that we live in, the world that Paul lived in. See, the gospel steers emotion. The gospel message provokes. And it provokes persecution. But Paul here sees himself not as an inmate, for which I am an ambassador in chains. You know, as we saw twice here at the end of his passage about the weapon of prayer. Verse 19, look at it. It says, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly. Two times at the end of this section about prayer, he is asking for boldness to declare the gospel. That he may speak boldly, to be very frank, to be confident, to have the demeanor about himself where he can speak very freely and boldly toward other people about this. And we don't normally think of the Apostle Paul, of him being intimidated, but he's asking for prayer that he might be bold. Anyone want to comment on why they think that is?
He needs to be bold.
He needs to be bold. He's going to be going before Nero, perhaps. Maybe he's a little unsure about that. He doesn't want to wimp out or shrink back. Yeah?
I mean, if you go before the ruler of your civilization, it's got to be something to be bold.
Well, we know this. He's bold about asking for prayer. So one thing that we can take from this, actually, and apply it to our lives, is that when we find ourselves in persecution, it doesn't say here that Paul is asking to get out of the persecution, but he's praying for the boldness to speak the gospel, not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. And so, take home for us, should we find ourselves in persecution, where there just be somebody at work that doesn't like us because we're a Christian, or where there be somebody else that we run into in life, and they don't like us because we believe in Jesus, we don't have to be fearful of that. But we can be asking for prayer so that we can face that. Is if it comes to us, it's there for a reason. Now, Paul says in another place, 2 Timothy, that remember Jesus Christ, the Son of David, who was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of change, but the word of God is not chained. You see, no matter what persecution you and I or anyone else faces as a believer, the thing that we've got to give them is the word of God, the gospel message. And it's not going to be changed regardless of what they do to us. What comes towards us, the thing that they can't dismiss is the gospel message. Paul here, don't worry about me, but pray for me that I can speak boldly. But he wasn't fighting the battle alone. He was inviting others to participate with him, to partner with him in prayer, and that he would not have to stand alone, but he could stand with them in prayer together. You think about it, sheep flock together. And we're considered the Lord's sheep, the Lord's flock. And we make sure that we take care of the rest of the flock by lifting them up in prayer. Application, when we find out about other believers that are being persecuted, we can pray for them to lift them up. But then again, what kind of prayers should we be praying? Should we pray that the Lord takes them out of the situation, or that they might be bold to the people who are persecuting them? Perhaps we need to listen to the Holy Spirit to show us how to pray in those circumstances. But Paul here doesn't ask to be taken out of the situation. But he says that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now this idea of the word ought here means that you're bound to something. It behooves you. It must needs. You're of necessity. You need to do this. This thing that you're supposed to do. And he describes really here his commitment to the Lord's purposes. He didn't worry about what was going to happen to him. He wanted to worry about what was going to happen in the situation that he might share the gospel. Maintain his bearing, if you would, in the circumstance. All right, so let me pause here for a second. What stands out to you guys tonight? Anything that you guys want to share? Anything that you see here? Quite correct. Well, I'd like to look at another example with Jeremiah the prophet. Could you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1? It's back in the Old Testament. I'd like to look at this for a second. You know, we're here talking about prayer and persecution. And Jeremiah and his calling had a very unique conversation with God. I guess there are others similar to it in Scripture, but this one's unique. And it's talking about persecution that he's going to face. One of the things that's really kind of unique about Jeremiah is he had a ministry for about 40 years. And it was, in God's eyes, he was very faithful and successful in doing his ministry. The thing is I don't know that he ever got one convert out of all that time. But he faithfully did the work that God called him to do. God doesn't judge us on the amount of people we can bring to faith. He judges us on faithfulness to what he's called us to do. But as we look here at Jeremiah chapter 1, I want to pick up in verse 4. I'm going to read down to verse 10, and then I'll come back and just kind of do some commentary through here. But as we think about this, again, we're thinking of persecution and reacting, responding to persecution. It says in verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant. So let's just go back here and just look at a few things here as it's talking about Jeremiah's call as a prophet and then the persecution that is coming to him because of his calling, because of where God has called him to serve. He will experience this. He says, there, you know, the word of the Lord came to me. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you experientially. God said, even before you were formed as a baby in your mommy's tummy, I knew you. I already hardwired you exactly how I want you to be. I knew you inside and out. Before you were born, I sanctified. That means I set you apart. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. See, God had already, he knew exactly how he was going to use this young man. And he organized everything within Jeremiah that Jeremiah was going to need and need to be. And here he is at this moment being called by God to go and to do these very things that he's been already hardwired to be able to do. Got to ask you, what has he hardwired you to do? What is it that he's calling you to do? Where is it that he is wanting you to be at to serve him? Because he's already put you together. Even when you were in your mommy's tummy, he's hardwired you, gave you the DNA that you need, both physically and spiritually. He's got it all there for his purposes. He says, then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth, right? He's reluctant to go and to do this thing. Oh, that's for them important religious people. God, I can't go do that. I'm a youth. Well, those of you who are in the youth age, I guess this one's for you, right? I can't go do this. I'm a youth. But, you know, God wasn't worried about his age. God already knew what he called him to do. It says that the Lord said to me, now look at this. It's kind of a gentle rebuke, but it's also this realization that persecution is coming. Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. And do not be afraid of their faces. You see, when somebody doesn't like the message of God, you can almost always tell it right off the bat because you can see it on their faces. They get that look on their face of irritation. You know, that kind of squinting of the eyes, the snarling of the nose, the teeth showing, right? Starting to gnash at the teeth in anger at you, right? He says, don't be afraid of their faces. You're going to go where I send you and you're going to say what I tell you to say, and don't you worry about how they look in their faces. And I think that's something that you and I need to latch on to. When we're sharing the gospel with somebody, it's not our responsibility what they choose to do with that gospel. It's our responsibility to share it with them. We want to make it as receivable as possible, without compromising the message. But we give the message and see what they're going to do with it. And God tells him why he doesn't have to be afraid of their faces. He says, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Just like with Paul the Apostle, he was in jail. He was right where God called him to be. Like a paratrooper jumps into enemy territory. You're supposed to be surrounded and outnumbered. Well, you know what? God was telling Jeremiah here, you don't have to be afraid of their faces. Why? For I am with you. And you know, if we realize that God is with us, and that he's within us as a believer in the new covenant, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we don't have to fear when people don't want to hear what God has to say. They want to hear his message. We just need to be faithful and know that he's with us. There's this assurance that we're never going to be alone because he's with us. And God with anybody is greater than 1,000 of anything else. I'm with you to deliver you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. There's the equipping here. God is giving him the equipping that he needs. He's got the design. He's got the equipping. Each one, he's got the hardwiring. He's got everything he needs to be set apart for this work that God has called him to do specifically for him. And then God assures him not to be afraid because I am with you. You know, if God sends us somewhere, we don't have to worry about the persecution that may come. It may not look good. It may not be comfortable. But if we're where God has asked us to be and we're doing what God has asked us to do, then we're not going wrong. We're going exactly where we need to be. Well, when he puts his words in our mouth, he gives us the things that he wants us to say. We have to remember, we're that ambassador, that special envoy with a message from the king. We're here as an ambassador to reconcile them to the king, but ultimately they have to make the decision if they will come to the king or not. But we do our best as the ambassador to make it as easy for them to come to the king as possible. And that's exactly what Jeremiah was to do. That was going to be his job. He was going to have a tough job too, because nobody wanted to receive what he was going to say. And he got about 40 years of it. And so as we think about that, it's not something to get all worried about that God's going to stack this huge, massive task on. Because again, he was equipped. He was designed. He was put together for this purpose. God put him together for this purpose. And God does good work. He doesn't get anything wrong. And that's important to remember. So as we kind of close out our thoughts tonight on this text that we're looking at and the persecuted church, I guess the takeaways that I would give us as we close out our thoughts on the spiritual armor and the being equipped for ministry, you know, we've looked at the various different things that we're supposed to carry here. You know, the enemy has its tactics. It likes to do the things that it does. And he doesn't always, you know, it's not always evident that it's the enemy until you kind of look at the outcome that's coming out from somebody. Because although we don't war against flesh and blood, it often manifests itself that way in people. The enemy, they like the guerrilla warfare. They like to deceive and to bring in lies. But as we think about the persecution here, we ought to be speaking to other people boldly, regardless of what may come out of the circumstance. If God puts them in front of us and calls us to speak to them, we can't worry about the outcome. I know. It's uncomfortable for all of us. It's not just you that feels the uncomfortableness. It's me too. All of us do when we're in those circumstances, especially if we're not certain. But you know, when God puts somebody in front of us and the conversation starts going down there, don't be afraid to go forward with the conversation. Because you know what? He told Jeremiah, and the same is true for you and I, he is with us. And when he's with us, we don't have to worry about the persecution that comes. Regardless, he will be with us. So, as we close out our thoughts here, he says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it, in those chains, in that situation, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Again, don't worry about the enemy tactics. Make sure you've got on the whole armor of God and stand therefore, having girded yourself with all the armor of God, putting it on, taking up the things that he's told us to take up, and to go forward in battle. And let the Lord take us where he wants to for his purposes. And remain in that place of being an ambassador for him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We pray, Lord, that you help us as we go out to the world around us. Lord, as we may face persecution, help us, Lord, to call out to other believers, to pray with us, to support us in that. Lord, to other believers that are around us at that moment, at that time, and invite them to stand with us in the middle of the battle. But Lord, help us not to shrink back from sharing your gospel. Help us, Lord, to be bold, to share your word, to be honest with others and be transparent, to share with them the things that they need to hear and not to shrink back. The temptation will always be there to shrink back. Oh, it's not a good time. But Lord, with you, always is a good time. Help us, Lord, not to get ahead of you, but to be right there where you're going. And Lord, we do pray for the persecuted church. Lord, we've been seeing the reports on TV and hearing the reports on the internet about what's going on with the people persecuting your church. Lord, we would never put down the sacrifices that they're making. And we pray, Lord, that you would give them the boldness that they need to testify of Jesus Christ through the word of their testimony and the blood of his cross. Lord, we just thank you for those who are willing to stand for their faith. And Lord, we pray that you give us the strength, not only one day, maybe to die for your faith if necessary, but Lord, every day to live for our faith in you. It's one thing to die, but it's another thing to live. And help us, Lord, to live each day as your ambassador. Help us, Lord, to look for those people that need to be reconciled to you. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.